Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours live up until 11 a.m. Eastern time all across the Sports Grid network. A big day around Major League Baseball. A full slate on this Tuesday after a new week began yesterday with a shorter slate on a Monday. Plenty to discuss around the diamonds as well. We have a winner-take-all game today at the WCWS in the Women's College World Series on the softball diamond in Oklahoma City with the three-time defending champs, the Oklahoma Sooners, fighting to get into the final against their bitter rival in Texas. Regional action done in the NCAA baseball tournament with the Super Regionals on the horizon. And we inch closer, DRS. Now 2 days away from the 2024 NBA Finals and game number one on a Thursday in Boston and game number one of the Stanley Cup Final on a Saturday in Sunrise as well.
Nothing like killing momentum to championship series by putting them weeks out, it feels like, for both the NBA and the NHL. But we'll get there. We got plenty of time to get through it. And also, another profitable day on the base pass yesterday for your boy DRS. So we're looking for a nice Tuesday schedule here and an action-packed 3 hours and a lot of great topics, which just could include a little bit more slander on those Cincinnati Bengals, Ben.
Maybe so, DRS. We will talk about the wide receiver position in the National Football League and Justin Jefferson resetting the market, what it means for his fellow wideouts, what it means for Minnesota entering the 2024 NFL campaign as well. But we start with news around the sports landscape from a Monday. Tucapita Marcano is facing a potential lifetime ban for betting on baseball, currently with the Padres, but last year while injured with the Pittsburgh Pirates, allegedly placed some wagers on the Buccos, now facing that lifetime ban for violating MLB's gambling policy.
Rule number one, don't bet on baseball. It's been that way for 100 years now, and it's in every single locker room. When you make your way up to the field, it tells you do not bet on baseball, yet still people in Major League Baseball are betting on baseball, and in particular, betting on their own teams here. It's ridiculous that we've gotten to this point here, but people that are stupid enough to make that mistake should be banned for life from baseball, which includes Pete Rose, who should never get into the Hall of Fame or actually get reinstated into baseball at any point here. The cardinal sin is don't bet on baseball. That's all you have to do is don't bet on baseball and you'll be fine. And some people still, Ben, have to bet on baseball.
Listen, it's the integrity across the sports landscape that we are seeing as the legalization of sports gambling continues to grow around the United States. The number one thing you cannot do is bet on the actual product. Bet on yourself in terms of motivation, sure. Bet on the actual game in which you are playing. If you are involved in that sports league, Never. They are always going to protect the integrity of the game played between the white lines on whatever playing surface you are a member of. Now we go around Major League Baseball to actual action that happened yesterday in his return to Philadelphia. Rhys Hoskins homers, but it's not enough for the Brewers to win six in a row. The five-game win streak for Milwaukee comes to a close as the Phils get a 3-1 victory. David Dahl in his Philadelphia debut, a home run and another run scored as the Phils take the opener of this midweek set 3-1 over Milwaukee.
Yeah, sometimes you can't win in a high-scoring affair. Good to see the Phillies with a 3-1 victory. They'll take that here. And also the only run, as you pointed out, scored here as a home run for the Milwaukee Brewers by Rhys Hoskins. Got a standing ovation when he stepped into the box. It was interesting on the home run because as he was rounding the bases, Ben, there was a lot of boos. As he got the home plate and walked back to the dugout, it turned to cheers here. So certainly you do want to cheer on a guy that you had some good times with over the past couple of years. You always want that player to succeed, but also the hometown team to win. A great effort again by Zach Wheeler. 7 innings pitch, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 6 Ks. He was absolutely tremendous, and the Phillies bullpen was as well. Good bounce back performance after a tough Sunday night for the Phils back in the winning column. Yeah. 42 wins equals the number one winning in the Major League Baseball, which includes those Yankees also at 42-19.
Tied with the Yanks with 42 victories, the most in MLB. Exact same record between New York and Philadelphia. 61 games into this MLB campaign at 42-19, as DRS just shared. It does not often happen that Oklahoma does not play in the WCWS final series. In the second game of the doubleheader, Texas wins 1-0 despite Nyjah Kennedy on the bump for the Cardinal. Texas scores the only run of the game in the top of the seventh on a fielder's choice. The Longhorns are the Women's College World Series final as the number one seed in the bracket. Their most bitter rival, the three-time reigning national champion Oklahoma Sooners, were one win away from doing just that. But Florida pulls off the upset yesterday. OU booked as a minus 280 money line favorite for the first game yesterday in OKC. The Gators behind 4 home runs knock off the Sooners 9-3. They snap Oklahoma's DRS 20 game win streak within the NCAA tournament at the College World Series. Winner take all game in this Tuesday afternoon between the Sooners and the Gators for the final spot in the final series of the Women's College World Series.
Good crowds on hand and interesting opponents here. And also, we talked about yesterday that streak for Oklahoma coming to an end. But still, the season isn't over. But by the way, you want to be commissioner here of women's college softball? Let me tell you something, Ben. Move that mound back to 90 feet. It would be one of the unbelievable displays. We'd all love college softball. Enough of the 1-0 games here. Move it back. Let everybody get in there. Give me 12, 13 hits aside, 6, 7 runs aside. And voila, you got a ratings bonanza.
Okay, Patty Gasso, by the way, and Oklahoma, 3 consecutive national championships for the Sooners. They have played in 8 of the last 11 final series at the WCWS. That's what they are fighting for today in a matchup once again against Florida. Here's a 7-7 for you. We go there, we go there, we go everywhere. The Giants' Darren Waller, more focused on his rap career perhaps than football ahead of mandatory minicamp. New York expects the tight end, who was not long in New York, to call it a career and retire.
And he should retire at this point here. If that is going to be your music career, you need a lot more practice than you do on the football field. So maybe he's stepping over into the auto-tune world, which I can smell a comeback here mid-season when that career doesn't work out in the music business. How about that?
Yeah, training camp is always daunting for those vets. Sad news around the National Football League yesterday. Larry Allen, longtime Cowboys offensive lineman, one of the best guards to ever do it in the National Football League, passes away at the age of 52. An 11-time Pro Bowler, a Super Bowl champion with Dallas, a Pro Football Hall of Famer, sadly has passed away.
One of the strongest guys I've ever seen in my entire life. The video's going around of benching 700 pounds while he's with the Dallas Cowboys. And this was one of those guys that used to joke about. He would fold you up like a lawn chair on every play. He would tell you the running play was coming to his side and still freight train the defensive tackle and the linebacker here. Certainly one of the best guards to ever play the game. And only 52 years old, man. What a shame.
Yeah. Very, very sad, passing away this weekend on a family vacation in Mexico. Our hearts go out to his family and the entirety of the National Football League circle. Now we go to the clay out in Paris at the French Open. Novak Djokovic tested yesterday, but rallies in five sets to advance to the quarterfinals. Quarterfinal action in the women's draw bright and early on this Tuesday morning. Iga Swiatek, the hefty favorite on the court right now over in Paris.
Men's final, women's final coming up today. Cannot wait for it here. It should be very exciting, Ben.
Yeah, DRS is super excited. Those finals, by the way, coming your way on Saturday and Sunday. Carlos Alcaraz, now the favorite to win the men's title at plus 140. Swiatek, minus 220 to win that women's French Open championship. Would that be three in a row? Our tennis extraordinaire and producer Joe Friso? Three in a row for Iga Swiatek on the line this year at Roland Garros. Speaking of French people, Kylian Mbappe completes his transfer to Real Madrid.
Only making $16.5 million a year. What happened to the soccer salaries here? I thought this guy would be making $30, $40, $50 million.
Justin Jefferson's making $35 million a year. That's an all-time 7-7 on our left. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Only an 8-game slate around Major League Baseball on a Monday. We recap for you here on this Tuesday, bright and early on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. The Philadelphia Phillies at home yesterday, a homecoming or at least a return of sorts to the city of brotherly love for Rhys Hoskins, who homered in his return to Philadelphia. But the Phils still get a 3-1 victory. The Brew Crew entered Monday, DRS, riding a 5-game win streak. That came to a close as Philadelphia posts a 3-1 victory to open up this series against Milwaukee. David Dahl, in his debut in Philly, hits a home run, scores another run. There was a great reception for Rhys Hoskins, but ultimately everybody left the bank yesterday in Philadelphia happy as the Phils win 3-1 behind another stellar start from Zach Wheeler, the NL Cy Young favorite.
That's what's supposed to happen yesterday. Look, the Brewers are a good team. The Brewers are going to make the playoffs, and heck, the Brewers might even win that Central Division. But when you take a look at the best teams in baseball, the Phillies certainly in that conversation with the Dodgers and with the New York Yankees, just based on how many wins they have at this point. But also, you're at home after a loss. We always call this, you need a stopper on the mound to say, okay, got that loss, let's get a win back. Who's that stopper? Zach Wheeler, maybe going to win the Cy Young in the National League. He was tremendous last night. 7 innings pitch, 1 earned run. That's exactly what you needed after a frustrating loss in extra innings the night before to the Cardinals. And also, an emotional day coming back to Citizens Bank Ballpark with the return of Rhys Hoskins, who loved it in Philadelphia, but you can't pay everybody just on nostalgia. If there's no room for a guy, you can't just say, sure, come back, $17, $18 million a year. We'll find a spot for you. I think you found a great landing spot in Milwaukee, and the Phillies also have their first baseman in the future, which is Bryce Harper. Worked out yesterday, home run for Rhys Hoskins, win for the Phillies. I think the fans got everything they bargained for if they paid to ticket money yesterday heading down to the park.
Absolutely so. And the Phils are starting to play better baseball as well. Did not complete the sweep over the St. Louis Cardinals this weekend, but it dropped 2 straight series, almost unheard of for Major League Baseball's best team virtually all season long. Now Philly has won 3 of their last 4, 42 wins, matches the New York Yankees for the most in Major League Baseball, 42-19, both for the Yanks and the Phils, tied for the best record in all of MLB as well. Best record in the National League Central. In fact, the only winning record. In fact, the only record that is better than 2 games below .500. That's still the Milwaukee Brewers, 12 games above 500, 36-24, a seven-game lead for Milwaukee within this division, which makes a minus 160 price rather peculiar in my estimation, DRS. Yes, it is early. Yes, the calendar just flipped to June. We are here in the first week. The Cardinals overall are playing better baseball. The Cubs have so much talent, maybe they can figure things out. But a 7-game lead is still a 7-game lead, regardless in which month of a Major League Baseball season it happens. And yes, you are paying minus money, but Milwaukee seems like the team to beat in the National League Central. I don't think minus 160 is all that hefty of a price tag.
No, it's really not that hefty of a price tag. Also, you're going to be getting some help back from your starting pitchers and also some injuries there, including Devin Williams in the bullpen. He comes back. That makes his team even more formidable. And also, just take a look at the landscape. Do we trust the Cardinals at this point? Not necessarily. The Chicago Cubs got a pretty good 1-2 punch at the top of the rotation, but seemingly can't hit their way out of a paper bag right now. So you are looking for the Brewers. And it's not so much early in the season anymore. We are in the month of June. A 7-game lead, I don't care if that's, 60 days, 90 days, 120 days. That's hard to overcome a team with that far behind to do that, even though we do have June, July, August, and September to go. I like where the Brewers sit right now. They're a better hitting team than I anticipated, getting quality starting pitching, and we're waiting for maybe one of the best bullpen pitchers in baseball to come back. Future's bright here for the Brewers. Will they do damage in the playoffs? We'll find out. But you know what? They are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, they certainly are, but there is still a large distinction between the Atlanta Braves, third best number even without Strider or Acuña Jr., to win the National League pennant at 5-1, and the fall off to Milwaukee, who has the fourth best price at 14-1. And if you win a division with a good record, there's a chance you earn that opening round bye, and yet still 14-1 for the Brew Crew. What's that old saying? Stick a fork in me, I'm done. Well, hide that fork in Houston, Donnie right side. The Astros, a little bit of life perhaps, with a 7-4 victory yesterday over the St. Louis Cardinals. A four-run eighth that included a home run from Alex Bregman, and Houston responds with a 7-4 victory over St. Louis. Booked as a minus 178 home money line favorite. They make good on that price. Listen, still well below 500, but maybe we keep the cutlery in the shelf.
And by the way, cashing in my play of the day yesterday, also Yordan Alvarez, sure, left-handed batter, thought he would do some damage yesterday and did that. Also, I love Kyle Tucker as well. He got one plate appearance, got a base hit here. His next plate appearance, fouled a ball off of his shin and had to leave the game. So sort of a tough beat on that one. But you're right, coming back four runs in the bottom of the eighth inning, that shows a lot of heart here. Hader picking up his ninth save of the season after a clean bottom of the ninth inning. The fork is ready to circle around the food again. But last night, just couldn't put it in there, Ben. Just couldn't do it.
Donnie over the stove like this, testing the meat, seeing if it's ready. But that's actually the different utilization of that saying. It's put a fork in me, I'm done. Well, no, actually, that is the right. Anyway, we'll get to the food sayings and the metaphors in a little bit. But for the Astros, big victory. They had lost five of their last seven entering yesterday's opener against the Redbirds. For St. Louis, lost the weekend in Philadelphia despite winning on Sunday Night Baseball to avoid the sweep. Lost the opener yesterday in Houston against the Astros. But the Cardinals still 13-6 in their last 19 games. They were nine games below 500 on May 11th. They have responded again with a 13-6 record from that juncture. For Houston, still seven games below 500. Still in contention, it would seem, for the American League West, and a plus 950 price on the Astros to win the American League pennant. Since April 14th, ERS, the closest that the Astros have gotten to an even 500 record is five games below, even with the win, still seven games below 500 at this moment.
Here's the issue, though, that you take a look at with Houston. Who's coming back to rescue them? Because what we've seen out of Verlander for the first decade has been unbelievable Cy Young Award-winning pitching performances. But I think you're getting the Verlander of what we can anticipate the rest of the season, Ben. Five innings pitched, four earned runs yesterday. That's just not good enough here from your ace, but you still bailed out late in the innings, which is a quality sign for the Astros. But I just don't like where they're going. Also, bad news on Urquidy as well. So, tough scene for Houston Astros.
Bad news on Urquidy. Good point, DRS. We go elsewhere around MLB now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Opener yesterday in an American League East divisional duel between the Baltimore Orioles and the Toronto Blue Jays. A battle of the birds up in the Great White North, and it goes the way of Baltimore to start. DRS on fire yesterday with the RBI props and telling you who to keep an eye on at the dish. He mentioned in the game for Houston, Yordan Alvarez, home run. Anthony Santander yesterday against Kevin Gausman, also a home run. Austin Hayes hit two long balls for Baltimore, and Grayson Rodriguez, sensational on the bump. Seven innings of work, only allowing a single earned run as Baltimore takes the opener in Toronto over the Jays by a final score of 7-2.
Yeah, Gausman had been having a really good run as of late, looked like recreating what we saw for the past couple of years, but he finishes with 6 1/3 innings pitch, which is fine getting into the seventh inning, but you can't give up 6 hits and 6 earned runs in only 3 Ks. That lineup for Baltimore certainly would attack. I thought Gunnar Henderson might have been a good shot at an RBI prop. He came up a little bit lame yesterday, 1 for 5, but got a double, I believe, late in that ball game. But this is what you get. There are no easy outs in that lineup for the Baltimore Orioles. 38-20 now in the season, and Grayson Rodriguez, we talked about him a lot later. Last year, when it was up and coming young pitchers in that lineup, what can he provide? Now you have an ace on that staff, Corbin Burns. You got 6 2/3 innings, 7 hits, 1 earned run on the road against a division rival. Man, that's exactly what you would love to bargain for. And also, Rodriguez now 6-2 on the season. We love the Orioles. We'll talk about them on a day-to-day basis. Why? Exciting lineup, a lot of RBI opportunities, and some pretty good frontline pitching here. That's how you get a 38-20 record.
And yesterday, pretty close spit in terms of those money line prices. Baltimore -112 with Kevin Gausman on the bump. Toronto -104. Total of 7.5 does sky over because of the bats yesterday for Baltimore. Colton Cowser, the other rookie for the O's, a couple of ribbies as well. Toronto entered yesterday winners of 5 of their last 6, despite being a few games below 500. But those 6 games came in a series sweep over the White Sox last week in a series victory over the Pirates over the weekend. Baltimore now victorious in 9 of its last 11. And that's really the story, DRS. This young Orioles team, who won 100 games last year, 2 years after losing 100. The Orioles were the number one seed in the American League playoffs last year, bounced in the opening round. Maybe a tad too early in terms of the postseason pedigree, but now you gain that experience. And for the first time in a long time, the O's entered the 2024 MLB season with expectation. So far, they are passing with flying colors, 38-20 for Baltimore, third best mark in the American League, second best price to win that AL pennant, only behind their divisional foes, and the team that is tied for the best record in all of MLB, the New York Yankees.
Yeah, you got to walk before you can run. You saw last year maybe a little bit ahead of schedule on the Orioles, picking up so many victories and having a solid season. Now the expectations, as you pointed out, are to make the playoffs and do some damage in the playoffs. And I like that lineup across the board. And keep in mind, we talk about some of these teams just in the month of June that are looking to make pressing, you know, runs into deep into the playoffs and or win a World Series. I'm interested to see where these front offices go to sort of add that next level talent, because the teams that separate themselves are the teams that are like, you know what, the Yankees are really good. The Phillies are really good. The Dodgers are really good. The Orioles are really good. Who's going to go all in and say, okay, we're not just going to pick up like a guy that's going to help us out in the sixth or seventh inning out of the bullpen. Who's going to help out with a frontline starting pitcher? An absolute all-star trade that you make here. One of these teams is going to do that to separate themselves. And I'm hoping one of those teams would be the Orioles, because that would be a fantastic run down the stretch in just one division alone, the AL East. Can you imagine the Yankees and the Orioles for supremacy there, making trades at the deadline and going all in? Be a lot of fun to watch it play out.
Well, look at those pennant prices in just a moment in both of the leagues. The story in the National League, that tier of three, the Dodgers, the Phils, the Braves, and then everybody else. Right now, at least from the prices in the American League, it's the Yankees, a short favorite at +170, and a grouping of teams you would think that are in true contention for a pennant in the AL. Does Donnie Wrightside agree? We will find out. Yesterday, dead even pick 'em in the opener of a series in Texas in Arlington between the Tigers and the Rangers. Tarek Skubal on one side for Detroit, Nathan Eovaldi on the other for the Rangers, and Skubal and the Tigers get the better of the Rangers. 2-1 the victory. Great starting performances really from both sides, but the difference being Jake Rogers, the native of Canyon, Texas. Homers twice back in his home state. Both of the runs for the Tigers, those two solo shots. Detroit wins 2-1.
Usually you'd say to yourself, Ben, let me see if I want to take an over. I'll tell you, if there's going to be 3 home runs in this ball game, give me the over. Yeah, 3 home runs, 3 solo shots, 2-1 final. And also, how about Skubal opening up against Marcus Semien right off the bat, giving a home run? It's like, you know what? That's going to be enough. And I believe there was a clip floating around, tweeted around, where it's like, hey, you know what? DRS says the Tigers should win this ball game. Cha-ching, they did.
Yes, they did. Skubal now 7-1 with a 1.97 ERA. Pennant price is up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pennant Pennant Price is live right here on this Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. More than 2 months into this Major League Baseball season, DRS. Here we are in the opening week of June. Memorial Day weekend now in the rear view. The rest of the summer on the horizon. It feels a little bit more legitimate when you start to get into the early summer days and weeks of the month of June, deeper into this month, into July, August, so on and so forth. And I think there are some storylines emerging around Major League Baseball so far this season. We start in the National League pennant prices, where really the story all year was the tier of two, with the Phillies ever so slightly behind both the Braves and the Dodgers. But the shakeup has been, one, because of Philadelphia's excellence on the diamond, 42 wins, the most in MLB for a good majority of this opening half of the year. The Phillies have had the best mark in all of the bigs. And then also because of the injuries to Atlanta. Spencer Strider out for this year, the ace for the Braves. Ronald Acuna Jr., reigning National League MVP, injured 2 weekends ago, out for the rest of this season as well. Now really it's a tier of three where the Braves sit in third and the Dodgers remain the favorites, but the Phillies have that second shortest price at plus 270.
And by the way, we're taking a look at some of these pennant prices as they shape up, and I technically agree that maybe the Dodgers should have a slight lead because we always know something's up the Dodgers' sleeve. For whatever reason, single A, double A, triple A, they have the best prospects, they can afford anybody they want, and money is of no object. So if they want to go out and get themselves another all-star player by the deadline, if they need it, they will do that. But the Phillies have shown a propensity to pay a lot of money in their payroll as well, top two, top three payroll in Major League Baseball. They will make moves. But also, take a look at the competitive advantages right now, Ben, across the National League in the East, Central, and West. 7-game lead for the Phillies. 7-game lead for the Cubs. 7-game lead, or 7-game lead for the Brewers over the Cubs, and a 7-game lead here for the Dodgers. Like, are we watching some of these teams just running and hiding already, and we're not even through the first week of June? It'll be interesting over the next month and a half, right up to the All-Star break, to see if these teams can close that gap. But we honestly could be looking, because to be like, the Phillies don't look like they're slowing down anytime soon. And you can't fault the Braves for being 33-24. Like, hey, we're having a really good season. The Phillies are just doing it on a historic level right now. And also, what do the Braves have to offer, and when did their lineup start to turn over and start hitting the baseball, because they're getting good pitching and still winning games? But you take a look at the Cubs, they're under 500 right now. I thought this was one of those teams that could be able to challenge, because we talked about that frontline pitching of their staff, but they certainly haven't been hitting the baseball all that well, only 257 runs scored compared to 305 by the Brewers, who we never accuse of being a great offensive team. And then the Dodgers, I'm waiting for the Padres here to sort of turn that corner, because I do think they have a lot of talent, but they're only one game over 500. So it looks like the Phillies, Brewers, and the Dodgers, if you just took a parlay right now on who was going to win the division, it'd be hard-pressed to say one of those teams is going to fall off, because they already have a 7-game lead.
The Phils now minus 260 to win the National League East, not only because they have maintained the advantage for the top spot, but of course the expected odds regression for Atlanta, no longer seemingly the favorite without Ronald Acuna Jr. But the Braves have won the National League East for 6 consecutive seasons. The Brewers only minus 160 despite a 7-game lead, and the only team above 500 in the National League Central. Again, that seems slightly peculiar, but the Cardinals entered the year as the favorites to win the National League Central, as they did last year, despite finishing last year in the bottom of the five teams in this division. And the Cubs were the optimistic team, where the starters for Chicago have been very good. The bullpen has been shaky, and the offense over the last 2 weeks has been frankly non-existent. And the Dodgers have won the National League West 10 of the last 11 years, and the Padres are only a game above 500. In fact, right now, DRS, as you see that drop-off between Atlanta and Milwaukee, it speaks in greater part to the entirety of the National League. There are only five teams that are above 500, and that fifth team is San Diego, who is only a game above 500. We know how the playoff picture now looks in Major League Baseball, where the last few years have featured a team that has come out of nowhere, basically. The Phillies in Red October 2 years ago to win the National League pennant. The Arizona Diamondbacks against those Phils last year, two wild card teams battling it out for the pennant as well. But you would just think, based on how the bracket plays out, the odds would certainly favor the Dodgers, the Phillies, not the Braves, the Brewers. Milwaukee right now is only a game and a half behind L.A. for what would be that second spot, earning that first round bye past the wild card onto the divisional round within Major League Baseball. We're almost at a point, given where the divisional races are in the National League, despite it being early June, DRS, from forecasting what the MLB playoff bracket looks like instead of deciding who could win these divisions.
Yeah, and also when you're trying to forecast those brackets, we remember the turbulence here now that we've added the extra wild card. What is actually happening? Yep. Where you're saying, we want our best teams to advance, and that's not actually happening because in Major League Baseball, sometimes it's just that hot team coming in and used to playing on a day-to-day basis, and if you continue that playoff run, because if you are a wild card team, there's a good chance that over those final 2 weeks of the season, every single game matters on not only you making the playoffs or where your seeding yep. winds up. You stay in that playoff mentality right into that first round of that wild card matchup, which then goes right into the divisional, where the divisional team is just sitting around like, hey, we probably had this division wrapped up for 3.5 weeks. We're not really mentally sharp right now. And you try to jump in against a hot team, that's burned them. But also, when you get into the playoffs, momentum, that's fantastic. You're hitting a baseball and you want that to carry over. Momentum is only as good as the starting pitcher the next day. And if you are going to line up a great 1-2 punch, you are going to have an advantage regardless yep. of what the other team does at the plate, which is why we take a look at the Philadelphia Phillies. Hey, look, the Phillies haven't played a good team in 3 weeks here and all this and that, and the divisional round comes up. Oh, Zach Wheeler's had a 10-day break since his last time he's pitched. Then you have Aaron Nola right yep. behind him. And maybe you have, you know, a Sanchez stepping up or Ranger Suarez behind them. That's what wins in the playoffs here. We'll see if it shapes up, because sometimes it's more important how your rotation is set as you get to the playoffs as opposed to how hot your bats are in the final 2 to 3 weeks.
Listen, the last 2 years, there has been that debate, rest versus rust. Does it benefit yeah. you winning a division? Does it benefit you having that opening round bye in Major League Baseball now with how the playoff bracket has been reshaped? All we can say at this point is you want the best record. You want the most wins. You want the easiest path. We'll see what comes to fruition, because do not forget, those are pennant prices. Winning the National League pennant is how you cash that number on the Phillies, on the Braves, on the Dodgers, on the Brewers, so on and so forth. Now we go to the American League, where the Yankees have the most wins in that side of Major League Baseball, tied for the most in all of the bigs. Plus 170, the shortest price we have seen on the Yanks to win the pennant so far this season. You got to go pretty far back to get to the second best number at 5-1 for the Orioles. But Donnie, in the National League, four teams, including the Brewers, at 14-1 or shorter. There are seven teams right now in the AL at that 14-1 price or better. It would seem to be a little bit more of a wide open race, at least behind New York.
It is. And by the way, it's the Yankees and the Orioles as 1 and 1A in the American League. Now, only one team can win this division, and that's going to be a help where you would get home field advantage after that. And instead of going to the wild card round, which let's just say the Orioles will go to. But I got to tell you, the AL West, I don't know if it's fair to say we're going to write them off. Not a big fan of the Mariners. Decent starting pitching staff, average lineup at best. The Texas Rangers, 29-31. Way too much talent on that yeah. ball club, but you might be getting some superstar pitchers back by the end of the season to see if that makes a difference. The Houston Astros, we're waiting from the way. I'm not waiting for them anymore. I'm just not a believer that the Astros right. are a very good ball club in order to maybe win an AL pennant, which then brings up the Guardians. So, like, nobody talking about them, Ben. 39-20 no. overall, four-game lead over the Kansas City Royals, who were 36-25, followed by the Twins, who are actually 33-26, and then the Tigers are right at 500. It's maybe the best, you know, division or competitive division in baseball is the AL Central here, with so many teams over 500 and playing great here. Yep. I don't want to say watch out for the Guardians, because I don't know if they have that top-end talent of pitching enough to maybe battle with the Yankees or Orioles, but that's a great story, and 39-20 is a really good record.
The AL Central is the only division in Major League Baseball that has three teams with a winning record. The American yeah. League Central. NFL contract talk. Man.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NFL world is consistently reacting, so we do here to Justin Jefferson's record-setting deal yesterday, a four-year contract extension worth $140 million with the Minnesota Vikings. That includes $110 million guaranteed. That's $35 million per year on an annual average salary basis, making Justin Jefferson the highest paid wide receiver in the history of the National Football League, but not just wide receiver, the highest paid non-quarterback ever in the history of the National Football League as well. And Donnie, we brought this breaking news to everybody yesterday when the contract extension came down. And frankly, we expected J-Jet to get his large payday at a certain point throughout this offseason, more than likely during these summer months, and here they are. And the reaction that you have seen around the National Football League in the last 24 hours or so, how do you feel about this contract extension for J-Jet?
I love it. I think it's fantastic. You take care of maybe the best wide receiver in football, lock him up for years to come, keep him happy heading into training camp. And also, the price of the brick goes up every single day. And how do you know this is like a good contract? And, you know, we always pull like different contracts that we see, like, I can't believe this guy got this much money. Probably the most recent one, I guess you could say, where we all laughed at was Daniel Jones of the New York Giants, you know, getting $40 million roughly per year when if he went on the free agent market, I don't even know if he would have got a contract offer from any other team. That was funny. But you saw all these numbers for Justin Jefferson at $110 million guaranteed. And everybody goes, yeah, it makes sense. He's a really good player. That's what he's deservedly so. And also, A.J. Brown behind him, $84 million. St. Brown at $77 million. I'm just bringing up two of those guys because of how much money more Justin Jefferson got in guarantees than those other guys. Are we saying he's so much better than A.J. Brown or Amon-Ra St. Brown? No, we're not. But even though he got that much more, nobody's having a tough time with it because if you are considered the best player at your position and you break a record on salary compensation, that's what's supposed to happen here. So who knows who the next wide receiver is going to be, but that is a high bar that has been set now for a top flight wide receiver. And everybody by rounding saying, and including myself, that's a good deal. He's a good player. You have him locked up for a long time. He's young. He should dominate. Let's get after it.
Let's go to that guaranteed money graphic again, first and foremost, to highlight the excellent work of our graphics producer, Jesse Metzger. That is a beautiful image on the screen. And then secondly, to highlight the first four guys, including Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Jaylen Waddle, that have the most guaranteed money at the wide receiver position in the National Football League. All four of those contract extensions happening this offseason. It is where the wide receiver market is trending. Now, $140 million in total is a vast amount of money. $35 million per year is a lot of money. If there was one guy not named a quarterback worth it, in my estimation, it's Minnesota's Justin Jefferson. When you look at the career stats for J-Jet in his 4 years out of LSU, it's been otherworldly. The offensive player of the year 2 years ago in 2022. He started off the first 3 weeks of this past season nearly having 150 receiving yards in three consecutive games. Donnie, he only played 10 games last year and still had more than 1,000 receiving yards as well. Justin Jefferson has been an absolute freak. Over his four-year NFL career, he averages 98.3 receiving yards per game. That's the most per game from an average basis in the history of the NFL as well. Justin Jefferson is deserving of it. And you said, DRS, that's what's supposed to happen. When you are arguably, if not even inarguably, the best at your position, you should reset the market. You should get that record-setting historic deal. I estimated that one of the wide receivers that was in line for a contract extension this offseason, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, maybe even Dallas's CeeDee Lamb, would get close to $35 million per year. Did you think that was in the cards for a guy like Justin Jefferson as well?
I didn't know how high it was going to go because the one thing that I guess they were good with, and you saw the end of the season when the general manager here for the Minnesota Vikings goes, this is our best player on the team, basically. This is the best wide receiver in the league. He's young. We are going to pay him accordingly. And I believe he even offered the words of, we're going to make him the highest paid wide receiver in the sport here. And everybody's like, yeah, we expected that to take place. But also, we weren't hearing numbers being floated out. And we saw contracts coming in, the Waddles, the St. Browns, and A.J. Brown, like, ooh, you know what? That's going to be a benchmark where you know this guy is going to get over that. But the fact of the matter is that A.J. Brown got $84 million. He got $110 million. And also keep in mind, he wasn't a free agent because how many times did these players get so upset? Like, man, Ben, if I just got onto the free agent market, my number would be $25 million higher. And also, he didn't get a hometown discount from the team. Like, oh, I'm just happy here. I want to stay here. They actually did really right by him. He goes, if you hit the free agent market, we don't even know if you would get this much, but we love you. We're going to pay you even more than what you think you might have been worth on the open market at this point. Also, keep in mind, you have to keep these wide receivers happy. Do they want big paychecks? Absolutely. But they also want the football. So if that football isn't coming their way, at least you know you have that big paycheck. Because let's keep in mind, Kirk Cousins was an unbelievable guy for Justin Jefferson, who knew, like, you know what? Mm-hmm. This guy actually got me paid over the past couple of years. You have a rookie coming in who does have some talent, but he's still a rookie. So if you're Justin Jefferson and you don't get your 130 catches for 1,800 yards and 22 touchdowns, the Vikings said, you know what? We might have expected some growing pains here. That's why we paid you so much money. We'll get it back next year.
1,300 and a half. That is the receiving yards number for Justin Jefferson in 2024. It feels like a high bar, but if he's healthy for 15, 16, 17 games, even with the rook at the quarterback position, I think he goes over. Many people smiling yesterday in Minneapolis, no more than Justin Jefferson, but Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the GM for the Vikes, he's smiling. Kevin O'Connell, large grin, as is J.J. McCarthy. What more could you ask for as a rookie signal caller than to arguably have the best wide receiver incredibly happy in the National Football League back with your organization? Now, we'll talk about the Vikings more on the other side, DRS, but they do have a 7.5 win total. The odds not overly optimistic on Minnesota as a team to have success this year. They have the longest price at 9-1 to win the NFC North out of the four teams in the division and plus 290 to make the postseason. What's your outlook for the Vikings this upcoming season?
I think it's about right here because it's not a downgrade on Minnesota. It's actually an upgrade on what that division is presenting now. The Green Bay Packers are very good. The Detroit Lions are very good. And we don't know if we saw a monumental leap between talent on the Bears from 1 year to the next that we've seen in the past 15 years in the NFL. Tough sledding for the Vikings.
A few more thoughts on the outlook around the National Football League next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Justin Jefferson got his big payday. What does it mean for the Minnesota Vikings this upcoming season? DRS, a couple of more thoughts on this because we were coming up on the commercial break. 7.5 is the win total for the Minnesota Vikings. The under has the hefty juice at minus 162. Minnesota is not overly thought of entering 2024 to be a playoff contender in the NFC, to win the North as they did two NFL seasons ago, or even really have a winning record despite bringing back Justin Jefferson. But I would still look at Minnesota favorably in terms of being a competitive football team, and I will continue to keep an eye on their overs. With Kirk Cousins, an incredibly profitable team in terms of what they were doing on the scoring side of the football. Brian Flores there on the defensive side of the football now. And yes, it is J.J. McCarthy. And yes, I have some questions about how his game and the actual productive numbers translates to the National Football League. But under Kevin O'Connell, with Justin Jefferson happy and back, second-year pro in Jordan Addison, one of the better tight ends in that conference in T.J. Hockenson, you have to be optimistic about this Vikings offense at the very least.
No, you're right about that because we do have higher expectations now on rookie quarterbacks as opposed to the past, let's just say, 10 to 15 years of coming into the league. And I'll continue to bring up what C.J. Stroud did last year, sending that into the stratosphere going like, hey, not only can you win football games, you can win your division, you can make the playoffs, you can win playoffs, and also have your rookie quarterback in MVP conversations right up to the final couple weeks. Now, that is lofty expectations for J.J. McCarthy. And you also have Sam Darnold as a ready-made starting quarterback if McCarthy's not ready. Now, anytime you're drafting a quarterback that high, he better be ready for game number one because that's the fans' expectations. But also keep in mind, Aaron Jones at running back, who they brought over from Green Bay, that's a solid addition. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, who was a high draft pick for them, that's a formidable wide receiving core. And you did bring up T.J. Hockenson as well. So it's not as if we're coming in with the starting lineup like I have nothing to work with. Last year, the number one overall pick go to Carolina and be like, are you kidding me? Like, Miles Sanders is my guy down here, which what we had to deal with. You actually have a competent starting lineup, but sometimes it's not about your starting lineup, Ben. It's about the other team's starting lineup in that division. That's going to be a tough division, and it's no slouch. 7.5. Let's just say they get to 8 wins for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
That's a quality season with a rookie quarterback here, but it's just a shame that they're going to play in a division with so much expectations outside of Minnesota.
The division is on the upswing. There is no doubt. The Chicago Bears have a win total of 8.5, but the over has the juice at -150. The Bears expected to have a winning record when 2 years ago they won only 3 games. The Lions now all of a sudden the year-over-year expected divisional favorites and some promise with Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers rallying down the home stretch of last NFL season to earn a playoff berth and, of course, an upset playoff victory on the road in Dallas. The NFC North, one of the more intriguing divisions in football, in my estimation, this upcoming season. Oh, by the way, J.J. McCarthy's passing yards prop for his rookie campaign, 2850 and a hook. I share that Justin Jefferson's was 1,300.5. That's nearly half of what J.J. McCarthy is expected. And, of course, you don't need J.J. McCarthy to throw all of that to Justin Jefferson, either via injury or maybe the rookie is not performing at his highest ability. They go somewhere else. Sam Darnold also in that quarterback room in Minneapolis. But I do like the number on J.J. McCarthy with all the talent around him in Minneapolis, given how relatively low that number is. So, Donnie, as we look at the wide receiver market, Justin Jefferson has been paid. Amon-Ra St. Brown also paid this offseason. A.J. Brown previously was the highest paid receiver in the National Football League. His contract extension this offseason to the tune of $32 million per year. Jalen Waddle still in the top 5 in terms of payments. So what is next? Who do you think the next wide receiver to be paid is going to be? Might it be CeeDee Lamb in Dallas? Might it be Ja'Marr Chase and or T. Higgins in Cincinnati?
It's CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is going to, you know, see these numbers. And we're also getting reports out that it's now accelerated here in the room, meaning that Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, and the agency that's representing CeeDee Lamb say, all right, we have that number here. Now, granted, let's take it back to when Patrick Mahomes got that $500 million contract. We never said that was an overpayment, even though it was way more money than any quarterback was making, because the value was you have the best player at your best position in sports, and you're going to have him for the next 10 years, pay him whatever he wants. CeeDee Lamb is really good. I don't know if he's going to eclipse Justin Jefferson, but he's going to be in that ballpark because he's a really, really good wide receiver, and they need to pay him sooner than later, and they will. He's next on my docket. The Cincinnati Bengals, you're going to get some dust on those trophies out there, boys, because I don't think they're getting paid for quite some time.
And we're going to talk about that to start hour 3. That will be the discussion then, but next, it's hour 2 on the Early Line.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.